Hello, everyone. This is the D-Rays Bay Playoff Podcast Series, ALCS, Game 4, Instant Reaction. Well, Houston finally gets a game. They win this one 4-3. It's now 3-1 in the ALCS. Rays are still one game away from the World Series. I'm Brett Rutherford, joined by Danny Russell and Matt Rayburn hopping on the pot. So, Matt, what's up, man? How are you feeling after that tough loss there?
What's up? Oh, I'm feeling a lot of stress, pent-up energy, especially watching almost two homers in the ninth. So too close. It was painful to see.
Yeah, it's crazy how even with a 3-0 lead, all the stress that we put ourselves through as fans and just watching and covering this team and talking about this team, knowing that they still have a 3-1 lead in the series. So, yeah, I mean, it was a tough one. Tyler Glass now on the mound, gives up 4 runs. The bullpen does well after him, Jose Alvarado and Aaron Sleggers. But Danny, let's talk about Tyler Glass now. So he was bringing the heat. Fastball was hitting 100, 101 a few times. Give up a couple home runs, though. And that was ultimately kind of the story of his outing. He leaves with 8 hits allowed, 4 earned runs. What were your thoughts on Glasnow's performance?
I have no issue with Glasnow's performance. I know that it's 4 earned runs. I'm not mad about it. This Rays offense is potent and capable enough, as we saw, as Matt was just saying, with the 2 near home runs. I'm so frustrated right now because it felt meant to be. It felt like those were the moments. It felt like those were the home runs that were going to clear the fence. And between that and the 6th inning, which ended on bases loaded, and it's a tough night. It's a tough hang. I'm glad the game ended shortly before midnight this time instead of after 1 a.m. Tyler Glasnow was fine. Sometimes you give a home run up to Jose Altuve. Buzzers or no buzzers under the shirt, right? As he's proven, 3 out of the 4 games this series, he has the ability to hit a strong man's home run in a little man's body.
Yeah, I mean, going to that 9th inning, because last night we talked about it. I called a Brandon Lau home run in this game. He only had the 1 plate appearance because he was given the day off. And then I believe we all talked. Yeah, we can move on from that. Just 1 plate appearance, that's fine. But we also were excited about Yoshi maybe getting a chance to play in this game. He does play. He hits in the 8 hole as the designated hitter. Doesn't have a great day at the plate, but almost hops on that ball in the 9th inning, which would have given the Rays the lead, sent him into the bottom of the 9th with a chance to clinch the series.
Lau entered that game as the pinch hitter
for Brasso.
And after taking the first ball outside, swung in a row. Is the same pitch under the zone 3 times. I know he wasn't starting, but.
I take issue with Lau, mainly because I saw this as an amazing opportunity for him to redeem himself in the postseason. What, 31-1? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
it's not good. I don't know the exact number, but I was waiting for him to do it. And to see Brasnow hit an incredible home run, an unexpected one earlier in the series, and to take him out and throw him in the 9th, I was just
Did it feel like it disrupted the magic a little bit because it was Brasso coming in?
Oh, I think so, because it hasn't just been that Lau's been missing. I've been noticing, like, afterwards, it's immediately to a double play, or he at least gets an out or something like that. That just wouldn't have, I don't think, happened beforehand. So it was
there's a lot more of an aggressive defensive shift being put on him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Oh, defense,
scrutiny.
No problem. Defense, no problem. Happy.
Oh, him performing in it. Yeah. But like just when he's at the plate, I feel like, you know, he's also hitting the ball into the ground a lot more and instead of elevating. But yeah, pulling Brasso from the game, I agree 1,000%. I know that the matchup is there. I know that Lau is one of our best hitters, but it just felt like you were messing. I know this is so anti-stats, but it just felt like you were kicking the hornet's nest.
Well, no, I mean, I think like it, with the move to go to Brandon Lau there, what's the point of giving him the day off if you're going to plan to use him in the 9th inning in that situation? Because if the plan was like the matchup was there in the first inning with Zach Greinke. You know, so they did make the decision. Kevin Cash made the decision to leave him out of the lineup today to give him a day off for mental reasons or for physical reasons or probably a little bit of both. Then the decision to bring him in the 9th inning, I thought was a strange one. The only other left-handed bat on the bench was Perez, so you weren't going to go to him. You probably weren't going to go to Renfro in that situation. So if you were going to pinch hit, it was going to be Brandon Lau. But I thought it was strange. Not that I was more confident in Brasso to be able to come up with a big hit in that situation, but he was in the lineup today for a reason. And I did think that was a strange decision. Jose Alvarado, let's talk about him, because there wasn't a whole lot of positives out of this game. Right, we can talk about Randy Arozarena too. But Jose Alvarado is back, baby. And he looked amazing. The fastball was there. Hit 99.
Or are you talking about his throwing capabilities?
Both.
Because Alvarado, I mean, still a big man, but the slimmed down version of Jose Alvarado. I mean, to the casual observer tuning into TBS for this first time, he was the biggest man on the field. All due respect to DJ Bok Choy. That is a Saturday Night Live reference and not meant to be offensive. But Alvarado, big man on campus, right? That dude is huge and his fastball is bigger, and he looked like his old self.
Yeah, Matt, what were your thoughts on seeing Jose Alvarado back on the mound for this team?
Oh, couldn't be happier. I mean, if he's keeps doing what he's doing, can't complain one bit.
Is this now?
Whether he's leaner or fatter, I don't care.
Me neither. Whether he looks like Jumbo Diaz or Pete Fairbanks, doesn't matter. I mean, is this enough? Did we see enough? Did Kevin Cash and Kyle Snyder see enough from Jose Alvarado to not? I don't want to say a bullpen, because I believe Fairbanks, Castillo, and Anderson have that. That's the trio that you're going to lean on. But has he earned a chance to pitch in higher leverage situations moving forward this postseason?
I think the answer is yes, because the fastball was consistent enough for a strike.
Yeah, he looked better than he had a long time.
98, you know, the 99 from the left side is just so disjarring for most hitters anyway. You typically don't get that high heat from the left side. And that's why Shane McClanahan was added to the rosters, because he can offer the upper 90s from the left side. Mm-hmm. Alvarado is probably throwing for a strike a little bit more often just based on his experience. And it looked like he hadn't missed a beat in terms of throwing for strikes. So I'm not upset if he's a B bullpen option.
Yeah, you look at the pitching usage today from the Rays and what it means for the rest of this series. So you get six innings out of Tyler Glasnow. That's huge. That's great. That's longer than he's gone all postseason. Then, because you lose the game, you only have to get eight innings worth of outs. So you get the one inning of Jose Alvarado and the one inning of Aaron Sluggers, which obviously you lose the game when you'd rather have won the game. But the fact that you got to save an inning from your pitching staff is a really good thing, I think, moving forward for the Rays, especially going into Game 5 tomorrow, where they have not yet decided on a starting pitcher, and it's probably going to be more of a bullpen day or an opener, and then you either see Josh Fleming or Shane McClanahan pick up a bulk of the innings. Danny, I'm curious on your thoughts. Like, who would you turn to tomorrow, either, one, to open the game, and two, who you'd pencil in to get a bulk of the innings?
It depends on availability, right? But tonight we didn't see any of the A bullpen guys. Mm-hmm. I would be fascinated to see someone like Pete Fairbanks come in for an open.
Yeah.
Just to be a little bit scarier into the mind of Astros hitters. We'd love to talk about tone setting on this podcast. If not him, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Pale Horse or Ryan Thompson, the Submariner, come in. So Curtis or Thompson, whatever. I still think an opener just makes sense for Fleming. If they decide just to roll with Fleming, it's the Yarbrough start again, right? We're going to roll this guy out and we'll just see what he gives us, and then we'll figure out the bullpen stuff later. But a 0-0 start to a game is a high leverage moment. And so I would prefer to see them treat it as such and give the offense an opportunity to make little noise before bringing in a rookie Fleming.
Yeah. Personally, I think I'd go Fairbanks and then Fleming and then maybe McClanahan after that. So you can bring in some of those higher velocity fastballs. You go Fairbanks, then, you know, obviously like Fleming, who throws like 90, 91, and then go back to McClanahan. I think that would be good to mix and match with that Houston lineup, which, you know, they only scored four today, but they're finally getting some of the runs that they felt they might have deserved earlier on in this series, and now they've got a win to show for it. So good for them. And yeah, Zach Greinke looked really good today. 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 7 strikeouts, and just 1 walk. It felt like the Rays just had a real hard time seeing what he was throwing. Matt, I mean, what were your thoughts on the way the lineup handled this Greinke start?
Well, I mean, they've been pushing us for the past 3 games. You know, it's been tight. They've been getting way more hits than us already. At some point, something's got to break numbers-wise, and I just think it happened tonight. I still think we played an incredible game. It could have had it in the end, but I think Greinke just shut us down a little bit too much. It felt like cold.
Sometimes you face Greinke. Like, that's what happens in the playoffs.
It just happens. I don't want to jump back, but I do, because when you mentioned Fairbanks leading us off tomorrow, I think that'd be really you know how I feel about that from the other night, Danny, when I was texting you about Fairbanks. I'm more of the spiritual guy, okay? Not so much. I don't have little stats in my head. I would never disagree with you guys ever. But, you know, I think it's a very interesting play, but it also scares me a little bit because I personally think Fairbanks is a confidence guy. If he does not feel extremely confident, he just burns to the ground, as we saw a few times against the Yankees and earlier in the series. And I would hate to see us start out that way and then fumble around. But if he's on, fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and Danny, you know, talks about tone setting. So if Fairbanks comes out there and lays an egg, walks a few guys, gives up a run or two, that's not great. And the Rays have had a 3-0 lead. It's 3-1 now. The panic button isn't even out on the desk yet. If things start to go a little get a little shaky in game 5, the panic button comes on the desk. Still got the lid over it, but the panic button would be on the desk at that point. So you want to make sure you can do everything you can to get through this series and to get on to the World Series. I mean, yeah, it was probably the most boring game of the series. Maybe it's because the Rays didn't end up on top. It definitely wasn't as exciting as that 15-3 game over on the NL side with an 11-run first inning. But we have to talk about him because we do it every single night. It's Randy Arozarena, baby. An amazing home run in the 4th inning to tie up the game in that moment. Drove in himself and Austin Meadows. Just a slider that didn't really get down. And we've talked about it a lot. He can hit the high fastball, but that slider moving low and away from him, he can follow those two and he can turn on him. And he did on this Zach Greinke pitch. Another amazing home run. I can pull up the numbers on it.
I know it was the hardest hit ball by a Rays hitter tonight.
Yes.
The Astros had plenty of harder hit baseballs, but I think it was the best from a Ray. I mean, bouncing one off the warehouse, it has to feel great. That's the beauty of Petco Park, is having that awkward building in the corner. And, you know, just breezing right past Brantley, hitting it to the 4th level of that warehouse. Randy hitting it to the 2nd level felt nice. And so I bet, you know.
101.8 mile an hour exit velocity, 22 degree launch angle, 375 feet. It was a laser. And yeah, Springer had a laser too. Got all the way almost to the roof of that building.
Oh, was it Springer? Excuse me.
Yeah, it was Springer. I thought it was Correa at first too. It was Springer. But ultimately, like, the fact that the Rays were in this game in the 9th inning too, it was just incredible. And I don't know about you guys, both with the ball that came off of Willy Adames' bat, the double that drove in the Rays' 3rd run of the night, and then the Yoshi Tsutsuga flyout, my heart kind of skipped a beat there.
Randy ties in too, right? So the frustrating moments at the plate tonight.
Yeah.
That Lau Yoshi Adames
sequence
situation where it's like, man, where are my home runs? But also Randy completely robbed, got the bat taken out of his hands by the umpiring with the bases loaded and getting the check swing called on him when he very, very, very clearly did not swing.
If you believe in baseball karma, though, or not karma, but the baseball gods kind of putting things right, and I don't want to make this podcast the Feel Bad for Jose Altuve show, because you definitely don't have to do that. But there was a call that went in the Rays' favor in game 4, or in game 3, rather, that Altuve was called on a check swing.
For moving his arms, which Randy did not do.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't think either of them went. But yeah, that was tough on Arozarena, who did strike out 3 times tonight. So he is mortal. But another, what was the Brett Phillips sign? Rakes all night, day, year.
Randy.
Yeah, that's Brett Phillips. He has been one of the highlights of this series. He wasn't even on the roster. It's been incredible seeing him in the dugout. But Matt, any final thoughts on this game or going into game five?
I mean, with us talking about Rosarena, I definitely have a little altar him set up in the back of my mind now. Some candles lit. I bring a Cuban sandwich towards the end every night. Just pray for him to continue this incredible postseason he's having. Just so happy with him. And Danny knows this because I tell him every game that Choi is my boy and will forever be. And I'm so happy with how he's playing as well. I'm curious, do you guys know if you think Kiermaier will be back, or do you think he's not?
I think he's back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would assume so as well. I would also assume him to be bunting or something. I don't expect him to be swinging the bat, mm-hmm. but I agree. I think if KK was truly available off the bench tonight, like the broadcast claimed, now the broadcast says a lot of stupid things that are not necessarily true. Like, for instance, when a right-handed hitter hits a ball the opposite way and saying he pulled it, I about threw my hat at the screen. Could not believe what I was hearing. So the broadcast gets some things wrong. But if KK actually was available off the bench today, yeah, I think you're onto something. I think it'd be good to have him back.
Yeah, definitely. And Brandon Lau, it'll be interesting to see what the lineup decision with him too. It might depend on what the pitching situation is in Houston, but we'll find that out shortly.
A couple things we saw tonight on the screen before we close things out. One, Zach Greinke getting calls on pitches inside against right-handed hitters all night long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Tyler Glasnow not given the same treatment. Pretty frustrating. Glasnow and Christian Javier both taking a pitch hit off of their bodies.
Yeah.
That was an interesting element to the night. Glasnow's popped up toward the first base side. He stumbles off the mound, whips his head right, whips his head all the way left, has not seen the baseball yet, looks forward, still has the time to pick up the ball and fire to first. That was incredible. And then Javier taking Yoshi's batted ball off of his triceps or on his throwing arm, even scarier.
That ball off of Yoshi's bat, 99.2 miles an hour.
Oof.
Yeah.
Does not
feel good.
Yeah, I know a pitcher can't decide what they're going to do, but I actually put his arm in the way. Even if I were a pitcher, I wonder if that would be my reaction.
Well, pitching coaches all around the world were cringing at that moment.
For sure. And then I think the Rays turned like three double plays tonight.
Yeah, including the one, it was like Brasso, who was on the left side of second base, then kind of flipped it, moving in the direction of second, to Adames, who was also moving in the direction of first. And they end up turning it, but it was one of the like more unique ones. There was a 3-6-3. G-Man fielded it, went over to Adames, back to G-Man. That was early on in the game. But yeah, the double play ball. You know, the Rays gave up four runs today, but it could have been more. Pitchers did a really good job getting the ground balls, and the defense did a really good job helping them out and get them out of trouble. And ultimately, it's what kept the Rays in the game.
My final thought for the night, Glasnow, there was a great graphic on the screen when he was pitching because that 101-mile-an-hour fastball coming to the plate. And according to TBS, by the time the fastball crosses the plate, a curveball thrown at the same time by Tyler Glasnow was still 4.7 feet away. I just think that's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler Glasnow, he's amazing to watch now. And I dream at night of him developing a third pitch at some point this offseason.
It doesn't matter. Look, I know he gave up four runs. This was the good version of Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not knocking Tyler Glasnow at all. I am not knocking. And hopefully, you know, if this series goes any longer than tomorrow, he'll be ready to go out of the bullpen after he's already said that he's willing to go whenever. He probably asked Cash if he could start again tomorrow already, so who knows. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's episode of the D-Rays Bay Playoff Podcast Series, another instant reaction in the books. Again, not too much fun to do these after a loss, but some good things to take out of this game, and the Rays will be back at it tomorrow. If you want each of these episodes downloaded directly to your device every single morning after a Rays playoff game, make sure to subscribe to our podcast feed. And make sure to head on over to draysbay.com to check out all of the great postseason coverage from this 2020 run. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Danny and Matt for being on tonight. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Make the marine layer go away.